As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Summer, no dunks, hitting the beach to read your emails and tweets. It's Wednesday, June 14th, 2023. Hello, friends. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tess Mellis.
Surprise, J.D. never really goes on the nose.
Hot summer. Yeah, new music here from Beach Devin. Next to Tassie, it's the bearded one, a top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo.
Ayo. And last but not least, over yonder, helping out J.D., it's the apprentice, it's Eshowa Kid.
Y'all like that, new music?
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Yeah.
I don't love change. It's tough for me. And I like that old beach stepping music, but apparently we kept getting flagged. Yeah. We don't got the rights to that banger anymore. So, yeah, JD and JK there are giving us some new tunes. It'll grow on me. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. We love to see it. Hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe. Comment away. As always, go get your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. T-shirts, hoodies, mugs, hats. We might have a tank top coming soon for you beach stepping freaks out there. And hey, don't be shy about grabbing a subscription to The Athletic. There's a new deal on, I believe, $1 a month for up to 12 months. Take advantage of that.
For all the manly fathers out
there. That's right.
Or it's just the regular fathers.
Perfect Father's Day gift,
yeah.
Which is this weekend. You guys got anything planned?
Mm-mm.
No,
nope. It's not for us to plan.
Good point.
Good call.
Fair. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks so they know that we sent you. And hey, once you're done with beach stepping here, check out the brand new No Buns podcast with Tass and Joel over at the Athletic Baseball Show feed on YouTube, on Apple, on Spotify, on the Athletic app. You guys talking a ton of baseball, including who is Elly De La Cruz, who is my favorite player in baseball. I saw one highlight from this guy. I was like, yep, that's my new favorite player.
He's very cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's going to be a lot of people's favorite player.
Yeah, he looks
cooler
cool.
Or less cool than O'Neal Cruz.
Yeah, that's a great call. There's
same guy.
A lot of comparisons, for sure. More power from this guy.
This guy?
Yeah, he's got more tools in the bag, hopefully.
Okay.
Yeah.
But both speedsters, I guess.
They do it all.
I love it. All right, well, go check out the new No Bunts, like I said, with Tass and Joel. Let's get into our questions. Thanks to everybody that sent them in by way of email or in the YouTube comments or Twitter at NoDunksInc, INC on the end. First one, dearest Dinkley Dunks, in any championship, there's usually one team that pretty much everyone other than the team's fan base really wants to see lose. You know, any super team. Any big market team, any team that's won a title recently. These finals were different in that both teams seemed widely liked. We had one team making its finals debut, led by the most unorthodox, spellbinding big we've ever seen, and the other team was an 8th seed that featured a squad of scrappy, work hard, and be the man men. All that said, was this the most likable finals of all time? The only one that comes kind of close is 2021, but even then, Chris Paul was there. So, what say you? Great question from Dan in Cleveland, did we just experience the most likable finals matchup of all time? What do you think?
I mean, we've come a long way if the Miami Heat are a likable team.
Right.
This was a team that was not likable a decade ago. LeBron left. They had some down times. Deion Waiters and Tyler Johnson were heavily involved. Hassan Whiteside had a run. Mm-hmm. But then they struggled through this regular season, made it in through the play-in tournament as an eighth seed in the finals. That's how you become likable. Underdog status for the Miami Heat. Because when you think of a big market flashy team, Miami's got to be pretty high on the list. There's like three teams that get free agents. One of them is Miami. They've been doing it for basically 20 years at this point. But I'm kind of surprised here because Dan in Cleveland, you would think he finds LeBron James likable. LeBron made 10 finals appearances in the last 20 years. So he's basically throwing out all of those, is what it sounds like to me.
Well, at least Dan is stepping back and maybe taking off his Cavaliers hat, going, a lot of other people hate LeBron James.
They definitely do.
Especially when you consider him going to the finals time and time and time again and having a lot of success. So I think that's where he's getting. But I went back to like Spurs-Cavs 07 as a potential one. Now we're at the beginning of LeBron's career, his first time there, taking a bunch of like nobodies to the finals versus the Spurs, who were, they were trying to win their third title in 5 years. So maybe that completely eliminates them here from this idea, but I don't know. That's a long time ago. I had that one, and I had the Heat Mavs 06, you know, pre-Heatles.
Yeah, I had that as well.
Because that team featured two teams that had never previously appeared in the finals. And, you know, obviously one of them was going to win there, and so they hadn't won in a long time, or had never won in those two teams' cases as well. So I went Dallas-Miami 06, and I went maybe San Antonio-Cleveland 07.
Yeah, the Spurs, I wouldn't classify as likable. I think maybe ambivalent, maybe non-haters it out there with the Spurs. But I like the 21 example is a good one, although there was a reason to hate the Suns for some people just because they faced teams that were all banged up. So some people decided that they didn't belong. Some people doing the same with the Denver Nuggets this season, not playing a team higher than a four seed, whatever the hell that means. But the Suns is a good one. The Chris Paul thing, sure. But, you know, they had to go through the Lakers. AD was banged up, missed a bit of time in that series. No Jamal Murray with the Nuggets in round two. No Kawhi in round three. Mm-hmm. I think what helps this one, obviously the Heat being an eight seed, just the underdog.
The Cinderella.
And not the hugest of huge markets. Yeah, the Miami Heat, a big non-huge market. So it's like really close. But the big markets increases the hate for sure.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah. Well, that's why we have to eliminate any time the Celtics obviously got there, or the Lakers, or any team that like went back-to-back, the Warriors, or, you know, I mean, that's why he's asking this question. Because it's like you can't even go Toronto versus Golden State, because at that point Golden State's like the dynasty, and then they get banged up and the Raptors take advantage. Yeah.
What about 2015? First Warriors championship.
Yeah.
LeBron takes the Cavs to the finals for the first time ever.
That's not
it
bad.
It is LeBron.
That's not
Some
bad.
People aren't going to like it.
Yeah.
But he's back home.
That's a good one.
And the Warriors were a beloved team.
Yeah, they
their
were
first
darlings.
Time around for sure.
Yep.
Babyface Steph for sure. But yeah, LeBron, the LeBron factor takes it away from me. Like if he didn't crack the vitamin water on that decision, then maybe he's still liked to some degree. But there's a lot of haters.
Mm-hmm.
Even back then. But 07, that's an interesting one.
I like this. I like this question.
Well, I don't know. 07 is interesting. LeBron, young LeBron for sure, but I don't think the Spurs weren't liked.
No.
They were, I would say they're more on the unliked side because they were just known as the most boring team that keeps getting back to the finals every time. It wasn't until 2014 that people were on board with the Spurs because they were playing way cooler basketball
by that time. Yeah, the beautiful basketball. Yeah. Okay, so what have we maybe decided on? Were we okay with 06, with the idea of Miami-Dallas for the first time in the finals?
That one's tough, too, because I feel like that's when people started hating the Heat after that series was over, because Dwayne Wade went to the free throw line 25 times.
Yeah, but leading into the series.
I don't remember that far back, the opinions, but Shaq wasn't a beloved guy, you know?
Yeah. Okay, well, then this is the answer. It's this one. It's Jimmy Butler versus Jokic. Everybody was going to be happy with either of those guys winning, for especially, of course, their legacy.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
But I also think like every champion team has been likable for the past 5 years. The Nuggets, they're getting their first championship. Mm-hmm. Last year's Warriors coming back after being taken out of the playoffs for the four seasons prior. Bucks, first title in forever. 2020, the Lakers win after Kobe Bryant's death in the bubble, and then 2019, the Raptors, yeah. their first one as well. So I think as long as you can get over dynasties on the other side, there's a lot of likability.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on here. Hello, boys. Hope you're doing well. With the Nuggets winning their first championship after 47 years in the NBA, I wonder, what is one thing you achieved after trying and failing for a long time? Awesome. Guys you love, upturn. You got me there, Gonzalo from Uruguay. So something you achieved after trying and failing for a long time.
Yeah, I had a tough one with this, and all I could come up with was my trusty blue coat.
What?
There was a Bill Cunningham documentary, a photographer, a fashion photographer. He did a lot of work for the New York Times. This documentary came out in 2011. This guy wore a blue chore coat to everything. Big-time fashion shows, just taking pictures of people outside on the street. I was like, man, I love that jacket. I love it so much, I want to get one. His were fancy. His were expensive. It was hard to find a good one. Until last summer, before the finals started, I saw one sitting there at Gap.com, and I said I had to have it. And now I just wear it every day, so it looks really, really old in 20 years' time.
There you go. It looks good on you. You were wearing it this morning when you got out of the very rainy weather here. I saw
I
you struggling with your umbrella coming out of
yeah,
the
Yeah, you know, I couldn't, didn't want to get my jacket wet for 20 feet of walking skates.
I know, it was pouring. This guy was so kind. Well, first off, he parked in the driveway, which he never does.
I'm never a driveway man. I don't
but it was raining too hard for you.
My catalytic converter.
Yeah, you didn't want to park on the road because that was too far, and it was like a river.
Yeah, I don't want to have wet feet.
No, but this guy stopped at my car because I was like going to wait the rain out for a bit, and he like tapped on the window, holding his umbrella. Hey, come on under, big guy.
Come on, buddy.
I said, you go. I'm fine. I could dodge the raindrops.
He didn't give you his chore coat to put on.
It was like a date. He took his jacket off and put it down, and I walked across it into the classic factory. Okay, that's a good one. I struggled with this one too. I mean, I got a boring answer. It would be like trying to run a sub 3-hour marathon. That took a while. That took a lot of training and a lot of marathons till I finally got there. So that's the old running boring one. But the answer is probably from recent. Where it took me a while to finally figure out how to say dating age gaps. I almost screwed it up again. I almost said gapes again. Oh my God. Why is it when I see those three words together, dating age gaps, I want to say dating age gapes. But I did it twice there.
Yeah, I did it.
Ash, by the way, jump in with answers to any of these. You know, we're on the beach. We're just kicking the sand around, splashing
around
in the water. Well, so you've got anything?
Yeah, I think I got one or two maybe for this one. First, trying to get into this industry, and now I'm here. So
big flex.
Second one, having a girl. Got three boys, and the girl's on the way. So, yeah.
Took you a while.
Took me a damn long time.
But he's got a baby girl coming. When are we talking here?
October.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
October, what's the age gap going to be?
The age gap? We'll have a 9-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a newborn. So, yeah.
A little gape right there.
That's a big gape. Big gape.
Okay.
Quite a gape. Do you got an answer?
Not a good one. yeah, I mean, I was never a good swimmer. I'm still not a great swimmer, but I can swim.
Right.
So
there you go.
That's about
it. That's a great answer. What are you talking about? Yeah. All right, next one here. This is random. Which player on the Nuggets can eat the most chicken nuggets? Knowing Skeets loves them from Mickey D's, let's assume that that's where they're from. I think the obvious choice is Jokic, but I think DeAndre Jordan is a sleeper pick. You can flip this question and ask who on the Heat can last in the sauna the longest. Hands down, it's Haslam. You can just see it in his eyes. Anyways, turn up. Love you guys. Awesome. Bulls are back when they blow it up, and Lowry's got a dump truck. That's from Kyle in Scarborough, Ontario. So there are two questions here. Let's start with the Nuggets. Who on that team can eat the most chicken nuggets, if you had to guess? Is it Jokic? Is it Jordan? Or is there somebody else?
Really feels like it's Jokic.
It does feel like it's Jokic.
It seems like you crush nuggets.
He's been talking about how he was fat as a kid also, you know. He can pack it in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure DeAndre Jordan can pack some back as well. But, yeah, it feels like who's eaten the most calories in their lifetime, I'm going to go with Nikola Jokic. One setting, one he can do it again.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, obviously you're including the big guys in the conversation. Thomas Bryant has a boyish face. Looks like he'd still be a teenager. They love chicken nuggets, so I think he's got to be in the mix. My dark horse, though, is Aaron Gordon as a big nugget eater. You're talking about calories. This guy transformed his body. He was like a jumper, skinny, strong guy. Now he looks like a refrigerator. Yeah. He is jacked. So you need fuel for those muscles. Mm. You need protein to grow those bulging biceps. And chicken nuggets could fuel Aaron Gordon's nuggets.
That's how I stay fit.
Exactly. You saw this guy out in the streets after the championship, walking with fans. You think if a fan suggested, let's stop and get 50 from McDonald's. Aaron Gordon wears number 50.
Yeah.
He's like, 50 nuggets, let's go. Put them on our shoulders.
Yeah, that was a crazy clip, eh?
Oh, man.
AG just out in the Denver streets, man, having the time of his life. Almost to the point where, like, this looks dangerous. But, you know, he was full. He was fine.
Yeah, he looked like Roman Roy out there. You never know what's going to happen.
And what about the flip side of this? Who could last in the sauna the longest on the Miami Heat? I mean, it's got, well, like, Haslam's fine. Great pick. Wouldn't Jimmy outlast them all?
He's staying locked in there.
Yeah, I would think so.
Oh, I like the old man pick, though.
Yeah?
Old men love the sauna. it was a perfect scenario being in Denver. Because Chris Chelios came up, the old NHLer. He loved to be in the sauna, and I love saying that. He put on a garbage bag in the sauna and rode a bike. He rode an exercise bike with a garbage bag on to lose all the sweat. So old guys can do it.
Okay. So you're thinking Haslam, then.
Yeah. Old guys love it.
Old guys love the sauna.
Yeah,
why was
do.
Chris Chelios trying to lose weight?
I guess it was just stay fit. Okay. Lose fat, I guess. Kind of thing.
Okay. It's just like, an old guy thing.
It's like 30 years ago, I guess, or something. So that was a way to. That was what people were doing.
It's like dangerous.
Yeah, true.
Right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Very dangerous. Get super dehydrated. Any other Miami Heat players come to mind for you?
I mean, Jimmy is the one to me. There was that famous photo of him during the stupidly locked in time where he's just dripping in sweat, so you know he's fine. With sweating. Yeah. And then I guess, I mean, Kevin Love probably has to be included under the old guy correlation as well. Like, you just tough it out for a while. If you're in your late 30s, you can stay in the sauna for a long, long time, it seems like.
How would Lowry fare in there?
He's got the most comfortable seat.
And he was just walking around the arena with the towel on. That's where he was headed.
Yeah.
To the sun. That was recent. Okay, well, let's hear from everybody out there. Very important question. Which Denver Nuggets could eat the most chicken nuggets, and which Heat player could last the longest in the sauna? What we got?
Prediction time.
Okay.
There are now 11 teams who haven't won the NBA championship. Which of the following teams will be the next to win their first? Ooh. The Clippers, the Grizzlies, Jazz, Hornets, Magic, Nets, Pacers, Pelicans, Suns, or Thunder, if we don't count the Supersonics as their championship, and also the Timberwolves.
Okay.
Alphabetical order. That is from Stetbanks on Twitter. Who wants to start us off from those 11 squads?
So 11 if we're including the Thunder. Yeah.
It's a sneaky.
Well, I think the Suns need to be near the top of this list.
Closest now, I would say.
Closest now. Obviously, new coach in there. You got the new owner who's very aggressive about trying to bring a title to the desert there for the first time. I thought whoever won that Suns Nuggets battle there in the second round was going to go on to win the championship. Nuggets got it done. They obviously won the title, so maybe it could have been the Suns had they somehow knocked them off. So I guess I go Suns. I think I still include the Grizzlies pretty high on this list. I mean, we're waiting here on the Ja Morant news. May not be this season, but they got a good team there. There's no way I'm including the Clippers because never for them. Yeah, throw me a wild card, like, in the next 3-4 year window where they pop off. Give me the Thunder. I'll go Suns, Grizzlies, Thunder as my three teams here.
I got two answers. I think there's a most likely tier. Suns, definitely, at the top. They got the two best players. They're the only team that beat the Nuggets twice in the postseason. I'm also including the Clippers just because they've got stars and they spend a ton of money. So maybe something breaks right for the first time in franchise history. We will see. And then I actually have the Nets in the most likely tier as well.
Interesting.
Also on account of they're in a major market and they spend a lot of money. that helps getting good players, as we saw with the KD Kyrie James Harden experiment. It didn't pan out, but that was a team that could have won a championship. Then in my teams that might be talented enough in the long run, I got the Thunder as well, just because they've got a lot of picks. They've got an all-NBA player. They're adding the second overall pick from this year. Next season, I think the Magic are there, depending on how things play out. And then I got the Pelicans and the Grizzlies because they've got talented teams as well. I don't think either of them could win a championship as currently constructed, but they could add some pieces and be better in the future.
So the Hornets, Pacers, and Timberwolves got no shot.
No. Or Jazz.
Or the Jazz. Yeah, I missed that one. Yeah. Yeah, I would go out definitely with what you guys said. There's no, I wouldn't be adding anything to the conversation. You know, the Timberwolves have hope with an Anthony Edwards as your lead guy. But besides that, you guys covered it all.
That's difficult. I mean, like, look at the Suns. I know they haven't won the title, but we're talking about them being close. But, like, what was there, a five-year stretch there where they were winning 20 games, you know, 19 games, time and time again, and then turned into at least a team where they've been in the running for a championship the last couple, obviously go into the finals, and then a couple conference semifinals losses to some good squads. But yeah, I like the Sun. I like the Magic. I was thinking about the Magic too. They would be along the lines of the Thunder. Yeah. But you would put the Thunder ahead of them just because of the SGA factor, like, so that superstar talent, you know, level. But Paolo could easily get there in the next year, if not the year after that. So they're a sneaky pick there. I like the Magic in the East. All right, let's take a break. We got lots more questions, though, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
All right, we're still here in the Classic Factory, still kicking some sand on the beach, reading your emails and tweets. This is a good one from Colin. I have a Bay Area friend who is convinced Jonathan Kuminga is an all-star quality player now and would feature on a tanking team. So he'd be sort of a star on a bad team. I'm convinced, Colin writes, his ceiling is third banana on a competitive team. He couldn't stay on the floor in the playoffs right now. Please settle this. Listening since Grantland, thanks for all you do. All right, thanks, Colin. Kuminga, thoughts on the ceiling for this kid? He's what, kid. 20 years old?
He's a kid.
He's 20, right?
20.
Still? He's still 20.
Wow. 21 at the start of next season, okay. October.
But. Okay, so who's right here?
Yeah, unfortunately, they could both be right. You put him on a start.
A little bit, yeah.
You put him on a bad team, he's going to be a really good player, I assume. He can do everything. But will he be a number one guy? Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a little too early to tell. He's got all the potential. We were just watching the EuroLeague Final Four. Anthony Randolph showed up. I mean, is Jonathan Kuminga going to be an Anthony Randolph? He's got all the tools, but he's already better. Why am I bringing up Anthony Randolph? I mean, I guess it sounds like what Colin is saying is that he's. I mean, you're already giving him a level of third player. That's pretty damn good. I mean, that's like an all-star player. You know, we're talking like Aaron Gordon here on the Denver Nuggets. So. Sounds like a good player to me.
Well, I mean, really, just what we're getting at is Kuminga ever going to be a superstar, a star, you know, leading a team as a one or two guy maybe? Or is he going to be a Wiggins, an Aaron Gordon?
That's what I
can see that happening here.
That's exactly who I wrote down.
Right.
Aaron Gordon and Andrew Wiggins. Like, you got to be in the perfect scenario to maximize your skills, and then you look like a winning player. Could that be with the Warriors? Definitely. Like, yeah. I mean, he shot 37% from three. almost at 10 points per game. I thought he should have probably played more in the playoffs, but obviously Steve Kerr didn't trust him. I think some of the comments you've heard from Steve Kerr about everybody being aligned and just wanting to win probably pointed a lot at Jordan Poole first and foremost, and then Kuminga I think is high in the mix. But you look at the 2021 draft, he went right ahead of Franz Wagner. So I guess the question is kind of, could he be Franz Wagner? If those two guys switched places, they don't play exactly the same. I think Kuminga is more of a play finisher, and Franz is more of a play creator. But I'm like, Kuminga, if you put him on a Magic team and gave him a ton of possessions, he's probably scoring 18 a game on poor efficiency. And I don't know. So yeah, third banana on a competitive team who maybe doesn't close every game of a finals, I think that is a likely scenario.
Yeah, I mean, again, he's not even 21 years old, already scoring 10 per game in the league, has a three-point shot, obviously a very, very athletic player, and can bring it defensively. I'm high on him, you know, whether he stays with the Warriors or he finds his way to another team, whatever it is. You're not giving up by any means on this guy. In fact, ESPN here recently, in a lot of their draft coverage, sort of buried within who the Warriors might take, Jonathan Givony. Givony? How do you say it? Givony?
Givony, I think. Yeah.
The Warriors are exploring the option of acquiring a high draft pick in exchange for a young prospect, such as Kuminga. So that was just sort of included in their write-up or their draft mock of who they could take. So, yeah, if you believe that, maybe Kuminga could be had for a... I would assume it'd have to be like a top 10 pick to get him. I mean, he went 7th.
Went 7th. 2 drafts ago.
Right. So we'll see. But we're high on him, as you can tell, Colin. So, yeah, who's right? Both of you will be right. You're right now. And
yeah, the scenario probably wasn't right for him to play at the end of games for a championship team. I mean, they wanted to win the championship, and it just wasn't the right scenario. That's all. Mm-hmm. If he was playing for the whoever's that wasn't in the same scenario, he would have been playing a lot, and we would have been seeing those skills. Yep. But anyways, you guys are friends for a reason, Colin, you and your friend. It sounds like you're on the same wavelength. Next one here. After watching the Nuggets and the Heat in the NBA Finals, do we think the Suns and the Mavs screwed up by trading quality depth for one star? That's from Kevin W. Ferris.
Mm. So after watching these very likable teams in the Finals, I guess showing off their depth. You know, we just praised, obviously, Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr. and the Compost crew for the Nuggets and their bench. That the Suns and Mavs, in acquiring KD and Kyrie respectively, they gave up too many solid players for that, you know, superstar player. That definitely backfired for the Dallas Mavericks, for sure. You know, the Suns make the playoffs and make some noise. I don't think they screwed up.
I think it's just hard to win the first year after a trade, because you got to trade multiple players for a huge contract, like a Kevin Durant or for a Kyrie Irving. So, like, I don't actually think that the Nuggets and Heat were particularly deep teams. They played 7 guys, basically, in the game. Half their roster is not playing. A lot of that was injuries for the Heat, so they're digging down deep. But you got to have 2 guys who carry the load. So that's most important to me. You had Jokic and Murray on one side. You had Jimmy and Bam on the other side, even if they were a little more inconsistent in the finals. But you got to have 7 players. You can't have 4 players, which is basically what the Suns and Mavericks had. You get those extra guys at the end of the bench in year 2 when everybody's like, okay, we got a chance at a championship here. Let's hop on board. That's how you get a Jeff Green if you're the Denver Nuggets. They're not paying him a ton of money, but he's a valuable guy who's in their rotation. There was like no Jeff Green for the Suns off the bench. They would have loved to have had it Jeff Green. Who is that guy for them? I don't know. Sometimes it's Jay Crowder, but you can find him.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, the Suns needed another superstar, so they went and got Kevin Durant. Now, you could argue that maybe Mikal Bridges could have, you know, been that guy at some point, but you need a number 2. I mean, we saw what Jokic did in the playoffs without Jamal Murray. He got swept. They needed another superstar. And
alongside Booker, you mean?
Yeah. And so, yeah, like in that instance, they need depth, obviously. Like Cam Johnson, who went to the Nets in that trade, could easily be, you know, a Michael Porter, I think, on a championship team. Just be a guy who fires away, guards, Mikal Bridges could easily be, you know, an Aaron Gordon, different type of player. But I think I understand the question, but you still need a star to be along with your star. And so the Suns, I think they knew that their depth was shot, and they'll be digging right now to get those guys some help. Ishbia is going to do everything, including, you know, potentially stretching and waving Chris Paul. So there's lots to do for them because they traded so much. I mean, yeah, the Nets got a lot of their players, and that was a great haul for them as well.
And as for the Mavericks, trading what, Dinwiddie, Dorian Finney-Smith,
first round
picks, yeah. I mean, it could blow up in their face if Kyrie Irving does not sign with them.
Risk.
Then that is very, very bad. Yes, that may be you've screwed yourself, but I think handshake deal, whatever, under the table deal is Kyrie sticking. Hey, he's going to bring LeBron James with him. So that's pretty good. You're probably going to trade Dinwiddie and Dorian Finney-Smith for Kyrie and LeBron if that's the end game. But you're right, Trey. Like, the idea of, like, it's tough to do a deadline deal and then just win the championship. Like, especially when you're talking like superstar players, because you got to send a bunch out. So your team has completely changed the makeup of it. It's for the next year and the year after that, where now we have the superstars because they were available. We wanted them. You know, they don't come available all that often, though in the NBA it feels like they're always coming available. We got it, and now let's build the team around, you know, in Suns' case, KD and Booker and maybe Chris Paul and whatever with Ayton, and then Kyrie and Luka for the Mavs. But yeah, no, I think a lot of teams are making these deals. Like, for the players we're talking about, Mikal Bridges looks the best of the bunch. All of these guys I just named in all of these, in those two deals.
Oh, of course.
You know, he looks like he could be an all-star for the Brooklyn Nets next year. But otherwise, you know, these are good players. You need good players, it turns out, yes, as your fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh guys. But there are a lot of good players out there. You just got to go get them.
And you got to have your coach stick around. Like, I would say that's another big lesson for these two teams. Both of these coaches, long-tenured, Spoelstra and Malone, they've gotten the buy-in. Like, the Nuggets core has been together for basically four seasons after the Aaron Gordon trade, despite the fact that they weren't able to play together. They were still all together, building towards the same thing. They add in the extra pieces, who made them into a championship team, much similar to the Heat, right? Like, they've got their core in Bam and Butler and Spoelstra. They're all working together towards the same thing, and then they can just find whoever. Name a white guy, and suddenly he can shoot threes for the Miami Heat in the finals. So you got to have good coaching. That's where it really pays off.
All right, our next one here. Let's get ready to fire the pun gun, boys. It's been a while. Christina Binden wants to know, what are your favorite NBA team name / food puns? I'll go first, she says. The Denver Nougats. Okay.
Nougat.
Nougat. How do you say it? Nougat. Nougat.
Nougat.
Nougat.
I do like changing the one team name that is actually a food.
Yeah, that's next level. You're right.
I may have been eating a Snickers when I read this question, though. It was perfect
the
time.
Nougat, yeah.
Nougat.
Denver Nougats. That's really weird to say. Okay, but go ahead then. You have a couple, right?
Yeah, I got too much.
So, boy.
I literally have every team in the league.
Really? Then
no,
come on. Let's go. Let's go.
Well, I grabbed my Phoenix buns from the Los Angeles Bakers.
Yes.
And I head on over to the New Orleans deli stands for a sandwich. And some Washington Twizzlers, of course. Ah, damn it. Forgot to grab my Phoenix Tums. Gonna have a problem here. That's it.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Buns and Tums.
I thought you would...
Yeah, I want buns and Tums. That's an easy one.
I think the Washington, you said the Twizzlers, and you were getting a stomach ache, which would work. What about the Washington Blizzards? DQ Blizzards.
Tasty.
I've just been thinking about those. Yeah, on the beach, for sure. Little peanut butter puppy chow. That's a new flavor they got.
New Orleans gelatins. Like that one?
Sure.
This guy grabs his mic.
Hey, what about this one?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we're doing here.
Yeah.
What else you got?
L.A. Sippers.
L.A. Sippers.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then I had the L.A. Bakers, too, so that's all.
Oh, yeah. Classics. What do you got?
Boston Garlics. No? No?
I mean, that's a stretch.
Boston Garlics? Come on. Brooklyn Nuts.
Okay.
Brooklyn like
nuts.
A nut to eat.
thanks.
You know the food, a nut. Maybe you could go to Voodoo Donuts and get some Portland Trail Glazers.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Mm.
Yeah. I like that one.
That should be a
Here's
flavor.
A reach. This one's a reach. Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, Mav Rice. Everybody says that when they're talking about rice.
What a Dallas Have Rice. That doesn't make any sense either.
That's Phoenix
Rice. Houston Croquettes.
Okay.
You're like a fried bowl.
I like a croquette.
Yeah, same. Maybe late night. Late night, you're staying up late. You want to have a Snackramento Kings. That's why I call myself the Snackramento King. So when I watch them light the beam. You know, when you're getting hungry at the end of a finals game and Miami's trying to make a comeback, they're just all chanting, "Let's go eat! Let's go eat!" I'm like, let's go.
That's why they're always
you're
leaving
home,
early.
Let's go. Yeah, they're like, yeah, dinner time.
They're hungry. There
you're
you
like
go.
Boston garlic, though, huh?
Well, I mean...
You have so many good ones.
I mean, it's a real stretch, man.
I play at the TD Garlic.
Okay, see, that's better. It's really important for the first letters to be similar, it turns out.
They grow their Boston garlics in the TD Garden, even, you know, like, that's...
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right, great. There you go. Hopefully you're happy with that, Christina. Bunch of team name food puns.
All right.
You guys nailed it.
Okay, next one. Hey, guys, I was thinking about how Heat culture doesn't really match my impression of Miami's vibe, which I think of as being more flashy. What are some other team identities that don't match their city's identity? Or which team's identity is a great match for their city? That's from Dave in Ottawa, but from Toronto.
Hmm.
Long time. Thanks, Dave.
So what do you think about the first part that Dave is saying, the Heat culture doesn't fit with, I guess, the city of Miami? It's sort of true when you think about it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Heat culture, it's all about hard work, grit, determination. That's many other cities. Many other cities try to claim similar things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not Miami, though.
Yeah, Miami, quite flashy. Well, I've got an answer here. I think the Cavaliers match their city pretty well. Cleveland. You know, this is a defensive-minded team. They were the number one team in defensive rating in the regular season. Cleveland, that's a blue-collar town. That's a grab-your-lunch-pail type of town.
Cavs culture.
That's right. Yeah, see, that works better. So I thought that one matched. And I think, at least looking back at last season, the Toronto Raptors defense, they led the league in turnover percentage. And I was thinking of Jurassic Park and the Raptors. And it's like, they always work together in that movie. They're always like surrounding, you know, the human that they were going to kill. Clever girls, right? Is what I'm getting at. So, you know, like it's they're working as a team. It's good team defense. They're creating a lot of these turnover percentage. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Cavs, Cleveland, Raptors defense because of actual Raptors. Not Toronto at all. Not even the question. I just wanted to talk about Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the kids get away. Well, I mean, fortunately for the kids. Unfortunately for the Raptors.
Yes. Yes. Well, oh, I mean, the T-Rex saves them. Spoiler. First Jurassic Park. That was not originally how it was going to end. Did you know that? I think they just had an anniversary for Jurassic Park. Was it a 30-year anniversary?
It would be, yeah. 93.
Yeah. So they switched it up. I guess Spielberg was like, people, like, the T-Rex is like a hero. People are going to love a hero. Like, you know, him saving them, really, at the end. Oh, there you go.
Man, JP originally the T-Rex was just going to...
Originally they were all going to die right there in the... No, I'm kidding.
That would have been a sick ending. That movie would be even more famous, I think. probably wouldn't have made a few more after that.
No, but the T-Rex saved the day.
Which also could have been a name for the Toronto basketball franchise. The T-Rex.
Yeah.
Oh, that was among the names, but Raptors won out.
Mm. You know, that scene at the end where, what are they in? They're in, like, what's that? What would you call it? Like the
like a rotunda?
Well, yeah, but like, what's that? Like a, I want to keep saying convention center, but it's like the visitor center, I guess.
Yeah,
probably what it
is. Lobby-ish sort of deal.
Yeah. So they're in there, right? And the Raptors are trying to attack them. Everybody knows the scene. It happens at the kitchen, spills out. Like, they're surrounded. Dr. Grant, kids.
Yeah.
Whatever the woman's name is. And then the T-Rex, like I'm saying, storms in, saves the day. How'd that T-Rex get in so quietly?
That's a great call.
Like, you see one shot, I believe, like there is an opening. Like, it's bigger than a door. But
You think too big for a T-Rex to fit in?
I mean, he got in very quietly, is my point. Suddenly, he's just inside.
A simple cup of water would have been a dead giveaway that he was coming close.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. But
how did he reach the door handle with those tiny little arms? Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, do you guys have any answers to this?
No.
Any thoughts on Jurassic Park or the entire series? Did you watch them all?
Not the last one.
Jurassic World? Is that the last one?
Is there two Jurassic Worlds already?
I think
there is.
Yeah, I watched the first
Chris
one.
Pratt's. I've only seen the original three.
Yeah, there's three Jurassic Worlds, actually.
Three?
They made a third already.
Dominion, I guess, is one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah, there was a trilogy. I don't think that they were very good. I saw the first Jurassic World. I hadn't seen the last two.
Right. Have you seen... Oh, you haven't seen the recent ones?
Not the last two of them. I saw the first Jurassic World.
Dinosaur fan?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
It's decent. How do you feel about... I'm on record as saying they just, like, the dinosaur world, they just make up dinosaurs every couple of years?
They do. I'm 100% on board with that.
Yeah,
like,
sell some more merch. Like,
you know, we had the Land Before Time when I was a kid, and they had the Triceratops, and then a couple years ago, they were like, there's no Triceratops. That doesn't exist. And now they're saying, actually, it was a Quadriceratops.
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah, remix. Yeah. Upgrade.
Make stuff up.
I agree.
They got a quadriceps now. I hate that, actually.
Yeah, man. It's like a big dinosaur.
Is this a Gillette product? You know, Gillette. I feel like they're razors. Look, I've been out of the razor game for a while. Yeah. They just add more and more blades.
Right. That's what they're doing with these dinosaurs.
More and more horns.
Yeah, it's possible.
Every year.
Another question here, guys. Howdy, fellas. I was recently listening to the Athletic Football Tactics podcast when all of a sudden, the voice of none other than Jason Doyle talking about erectile dysfunction began blessing my ears during an ad break. Wow. When have you seen or heard someone in a place you would have never expected? That's from Jack Longo in Victoria, British Columbia. Makes sense. I believe that ad was airing only in Canada for our Canadian listeners. That JD... ED commercial that had
JD
Canada
by
buzzing.
ED.
But yeah, when's the time, you know, you saw or heard someone in a place you just never thought you would have seen them, I guess.
I had two great ones at the finals. Jamal Crawford showing up at the media run. That was surprising. I definitely had a bit of a LeBron James response. Remember there's that clip when Kawhi Leonard is checking back into the game in the 2014 finals. He like looks over. He sees Kawhi checking. He's like, oh.
Oh.
That's what I was like when Jamal Crawford was walking. I was like, oh, God. We're getting torched here tonight. Should be cool, though. The other one that was very weird, as soon as game five was over, Jerome and I went down from 300 levels. We were heading to the court and stuff. I saw Jokic's brothers, a gigantic crowd of people all coming to take photos with these guys. Big Jokic brother, probably the most photographed guy in the Denver Nuggets traveling party.
Yeah.
Hands down, including players, executives, everybody. This guy will take any photo. So like, haha, I'm gonna go get a photo of this guy. As he walks in, Jerome's like, Trey. Nikola Vucevic just walking through the concourses. I go, Vooch! He's like, hey, buddy, good to see you. You doing okay? I don't think we've ever met. But I was like, we were best buddies. Scoop, Vooch is coming back.
All right. To the Bulls.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I didn't actually ask him,
but
it seemed like it.
Well, I guess if you shake
yeah, it
your
seemed
hand.
Like a, it felt like a rich handshake.
Okay, good answer.
Vooch. What's he doing? Just hanging out?
Yeah, what's he
the
there
finals?
For? What's he there? What's he
I,
there?
I think he was rolling with the Jokic crew,
yeah.
is what it
yeah.
seemed like. They
yeah,
were very close after each other.
There you go. What do you got?
Well, once upon a time, I invited my wife to go out to a bar to hang with Zach Lowe. She didn't come, but I later found out after some talking to Zach Lowe that he taught my wife in a high school class.
That's crazy to me.
It is strange. So it would have just been a lot easier if she was there to make the connection. But it took some texts, it took some calls to figure it all out.
Like when you were at that school and you were older is your
yeah,
wife?
Yeah,
you're doing
out.
All that. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
yes. So classic.
Ash, you got an answer for this? Seen anyone random?
Well, I guess this might be a spoiler, but I don't know. Mandalorian, I'm watching it, mm-hmm. and Jack Black and Lizzo pop up on the screen. I was like, Jack Black's in Star Wars? Lizzo's in Star Wars? That was kind of weird.
This is the second season of Mandalorian?
Third season. So yeah, sorry. Spoilers. No big deal.
You're sticking with that show, are you?
I love Star Wars, man. Like,
fair.
Gotta watch it.
Okay.
Yeah, gotta watch it.
How's Grogu doing?
He's still the same.
Is he still a baby?
Still a baby.
Wow.
I don't think he's ever gonna not be.
It's
a
not
baby.
Gonna be like a Groot situation.
I don't think he can be. Right? Like if Yoda was 900 years old and this kid's 50.
Oh, right. So they just age super slow?
Super slow. So he's just going to be, I don't know. They just announced a new movie after 9 with Rey coming back. I don't know. He's still going to be a baby if he's there. If he's alive, he's still going to be a baby.
He'll always be a baby.
So that's the point. I don't know.
Are his powers getting better? Like is he learning how to use them?
Using the Force. Very nice.
Could Grogu beat T-Rex?
Could Grogu? Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
This is mine.
Does Jack Black do a song?
No, but I wish he did, honestly. his character, it was so funny. Like, we had just seen the Mario movie, and then we were watching Mandalorian, and then the kids were like, that sounds like Bowser. And I was like, yeah,
wow.
He's just kind of like nice. Using a little bit of that voice, and he was just kind of weird, and Lizzo was just being Lizzo in Star Wars. It was really weird. It was really weird. But I was like, it's cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have not a greatest answer as that. Do you remember Star Provisions here in Atlanta? The original one on the west side? The only reason I bring this up, it's like not a big deal to see celebrities, but I saw two celebrities at the exact same place at a random, like, what would you call that place? Like a sandwich shop, right? Usher, super tiny.
Good Atlanta sighting.
Blows your mind seeing him in person. And Jason Bateman. Saw two celebrities in the exact same place. Celebrities like Star Provisions, or at least they used to like that one. Why'd they ever shut it down? I don't know.
They shut down that Star Provisions.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. It's something else. Or moved. I think it just moved. They didn't like the space they had to sell all their pottery.
You could
buy
all
a bunch
of
that stuff there.
Yeah. Got a overpriced sick, pottery. Like, bulldog ashtray once. That was really cool. Man, they had a great Reuben.
They had good sandwiches, man. No wonder these people were going. Even the stars, just like us, love a good sandwich.
Only stars could eat. Maybe that's why they had to close down. Plebes like us started coming in. They're like, these guys, these are not big enough stars. We got to stick to the Usher Bateman region.
Interesting.
How tall was Jason Bateman?
You know,
Usher was small.
Compared to Usher, he was a giant. He was like Boban. Usher just so small. It's like you can put him in your pocket. It's crazy. Big personality though, that guy.
Big dance moves, yeah. Big dance is bigger.
I don't remember. I think he was just average. But most people in Hollywood are pretty small, so maybe he's like 5'8". I don't know. Let's look that up.
What do you order?
What do you guess? Let's get some guesses.
On his order or his height?
On his height.
5'9".
Okay.
5'8". I think he's 5'8". Actually.
Okay, you're going a little smaller. Yeah. What do you got? 5'11".
Count the hair.
You just see it?
Yeah.
5'11".
No way.
No way.
I don't think so.
No way. He's
never seen him. I don't believe it though.
I agree. 5'10" tops. He's doing what I do. I try and say I'm 5'11". Our buddy Dub gets pissed off with me. He's like, "You're not 5'11". You're 5'10" and change, but you're rounding up too much.
Okay, I'm seeing 5'10 and 3/4".
I bet that's what he is.
He's a rounder.
He's basically my height. Round up, Jason. We're 5'11", man. Says it on my ID. Let's take our final break. When we come back, another question or two and tweet of the night. Don't go anywhere.
I got to get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
All right, still here in the Classic Factory. If you're joining us live on YouTube, hit the like button and make sure you subscribe. So I guess we are looking at the entrance that that T-Rex could have entered through in the original Jurassic Park movie.
Just past the scaffolding there.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, he's crouching. He's coming in quiet is all I'm saying for a T-Rex because they don't even know he's there. But then again, they're like getting attacked by raptors.
Yeah.
So they're a little distracted. I'm talking about the humans here.
What is Laura Dern's name in this?
Yeah. Ellie.
Nice,
Ellie.
Nice.
Okay. All right. thanks, I guess, for fact-checking me there. I still think that's a little suspect that he got in that easy. But anyway. Oh, boy. Come on. Why don't we set up a second mic?
No.
Nope, can't
no way.
Do that.
No Jesus. Way.
Nice haircut, by the way.
Thank you. shout out to Barbara Jason.
How's the place?
Oh, it's great. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a nice little solo spot. Kind of in like a salon WeWork type thing. You
okay.
Know? Yeah.
Okay.
It's cool. Madison Yards. they jumped on the skeleton of the T-Rex.
I know.
And it all falls apart and it's breaking apart. They're screaming their heads off. John Williams is cranked. He's gonna sneak in.
Okay. All right. So you buy it.
I'm buying it.
You think they got the John Williams score playing in the lobby?
Yeah, of course. It's on
makes
a loop.
More exciting, yeah.
What are we calling that? This lobby.
I liked the rotunda.
It's a great word.
Visitor okay. Center. It's the fucking lobby. Well, of Jurassic yeah. Park, right? I don't know.
You think that's Jurassic the first lobby. Building you go into when you come into Jurassic
yeah,
Park?
Yeah, you get off the boat or the helicopter.
Sign your
and you
waiver.
Go in. Yeah, it's got the you know the banner that
does have the banner.
Falls down as the T-Rex is getting. Attacked.
Can you confirm what I was saying about there was supposed to be a different ending?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, I think the book does end differently. Not to get it back into a Crichton conversation from Is This Good? But
Crichton.
Yeah, I believe it's different. I can't remember what
yeah,
it is,
okay.
though. Yeah.
Well, good call by Spielberg.
Yeah.
All right, we got
all
one
right.
more question.
Yeah, last
here.
Question. With all of the hours you have free now that you're not watching basketball, what's your go-to way to fill that time void? Thanks, Max Shine. Who wants to start us off?
Watching all the Jurassic Park movies. Let's do it. Let's watch all the Jurassic Park movies. Let's watch all the Mission Impossibles. Let's watch all the James Bonds. What other
Tough.
Series
all
can
the
we
James
do?
Bonds. I don't
I
think
mean,
we can do
you
want
to get nuts? Go Harry Potter?
Rambo.
No, thank you. Rambo. Rambo, okay. First
Rocky?
Blood.
There's a lot of Rockies now with like the Creed franchise being successful as well.
Yeah. Yeah, there'd be like, what, 9 total? Maybe? Wasn't there 6 Rockies?
Yeah, there was like 5 original Rockies. Then they had like Rocky Balboa. Then they had 3 Creeds,
yeah,
I think, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
What are you doing during the summer?
No, watching movies, man. Movies are back for me. I feel like I've spent like a decade watching shows specifically, but I'm back on movies. Y'all heard about movies? I have watched 4 Mission Impossibles recently, backwards. Not the movies, but I watched like 6, and then it was like it wanted to start me on 5. I was like... All right. So I just watched 3 last night.
Wow.
That's the old era. That's the old era of Mission Impossible. It ain't the same. But I'll definitely be going to see the new one when that one comes
right,
out.
Right.
Number 4 of the new era. They're similar to Fast and Furious, where they made a bunch of old ones that feel like old ones, like feel like 90s movies, though 3 came out, I think, in 06. And then they took a few years off and came back with kind of a different mission statement, if
right.
you will.
Yeah.
So that... I'll be seeing movies. Seeing a lot of movies this summer.
Okay.
What is this Owen Wilson Bob Ross movie?
He's playing Bob Ross?
Yeah, but they stole the
wow
the likeness of Bob Ross. Now, basically, I'm watching movies as well. Then Trey got me Googling movies. That's what I'm doing in 2023. Yeah, absolutely. Forget TV shows. It's all about movies.
Carl Nargle, he plays.
So it's just a knockoff.
It looks like it. It's called Paint. It's a fake Bob Ross. It's a flop. Uh-oh. Sounds good, though.
Yeah, 32%.
Oh!
Oh!
Ouch. What are you doing, Esh? Movies. You love movies.
Yeah, I do love movies. So I'll be watching movies. I'll be watching movies. I just saw Spider-Man twice the past 2 weeks.
Oh!
Gonna go see The Flash at some point, I guess.
Yeah.
Elemental with the kids.
Oh, that's not getting good reviews, I heard.
Is it really not?
That's what I heard.
The kids want to see it. Okay. See it. But yeah, movies. Movies and probably playing some video games. We'll see.
Oh, yeah. Video games. I almost bought, thanks to Instagram, I'm scrolling through. You obviously get the ads. Is it sort of like, I guess it's like an emulator, right? Where it's got all the old games on it. I think it was called like Game Grid or something. Maybe somebody out there has it. Somebody in the stream team. Tell me if I should buy this thing. But it just like...
What are you playing
it's
it
all
on?
Nostalgia. Well, it's like one of these things you just plug into the TV type thing. And it's got them all loaded up in it. Like Street Fighter and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Like basically every game we all played growing up. And I was like, oh boy.
What's your system? What's
what do you mean?
It comes with it. It's part of
the thing. The controller looks like a PlayStation controller, yeah. Mm. I think it comes with two of them. And then like, you know, hundreds of games. It's like I'm intrigued by that. I just want to play all the old games. Like I just love them.
It can't be expensive.
No, it's like $100. Yeah, but I'm just like, it looks so cool. I'm like, really? Is this as good as it is? Maybe it is.
If you like those old games,
yeah. Now tell me if I should buy this. That's what I'll be doing.
I feel like you're always looking for encouragement to buy a video game.
I am.
Just do it, man. You want to buy an NBA Jam arcade? You want to buy a Switch? You want to buy this thing? Maybe you just don't like video games that much.
I just know. No, I just know. I'm it's gonna be trouble. I'm just gonna be locked in on that room. It's my personality. I'll go too far into it. And then I'll be getting, you know, I won't be doing things. I won't be outside.
I won't be doing things.
You know, I'm definitely getting yelled at by Nora. I won't be walking the dog. Hold on, I gotta complete this level. That's why I don't have these, man. I love video games, but I'm gonna do it. You're right. I'm gonna get one. That's what I'm doing this summer. I'm filling the void. I'm gonna Twitch. That's a crazy thing.
100%. You guys should start streaming. I think you would have a huge fan base. Obviously, you
just play video games.
Yeah, and it'd be hilarious because none of you guys are like gamers.
Yeah.
And you'd just be kind of like sitting there saying like, what the fuck am I doing? Yeah. And like, you'd have the viewership, I'm sure.
Okay, yeah. All right.
You play this new Zelda yet?
See, no, but all my friends have. I heard it's really good.
It's supposed to be sick.
It's really good. I'm playing
make anything.
Jedi Survivor right now.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Spider-Man 2 comes out in a couple months. I'll be playing
there
that.
There you go.
There you go.
So they're going to be making a Zelda movie, I assume. Like, if we've got a Super Mario Brother movie.
It's supposed to be something Zelda-ish. On Netflix at some point, live action Zelda, unless it's fake.
Owen Wilson as Zelda.
Zelda-ish.
Wow.
I'll watch it.
Wow. All right, good crop of questions. Keep them coming. You know we'll be hitting the beach throughout the summer. That's how we're going to fill the void, answering your questions. So send them in, nodunks@theathletic.com, tweet them in @nodunksinc, or leave them in the YouTube comments. Really, really appreciate it, everybody that dropped a cue for us. NBA questions and non-NBA questions. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
I got two tweets for you guys. First one, NBA related, from @NBAPR. 2023 NBA playoffs averaged 5.47 million viewers across ABC, ESPN, and TNT, making it the most watched playoffs in 5 years. That's good. That's solid. People like the basketball. As for the finals, ABC brought in an average of 11.64 million viewers, which was a slight decrease from 2022 and the six-game series we had between the Celtics and Dubs. That averaged 12.402 million, so very, very close when it got to the finals, but the playoffs overall, Tass, pretty good numbers here, at least when you compare them to the last five.
Yeah, the first three rounds had a lot of buzz, even if there was a tiny drop-off in the finals. There was a lot of drama in those first three rounds. We could sense it here in the studio. People were abuzz on No Dunks as well. It was a good first 6 weeks. I would say,
do you think a part of that was it long, felt so open?
Yeah.
Like there was a lot of like, wow, it feels like everywhere. Seven teams could win this title. So some intrigue there?
Yeah, definitely a part of it. I'd like to go back and see how many were sweeps. I mean, we really had one. Did we have one?
Sixers swept the
Is
Nets.
That it?
Lakers got swept by the Nuggets.
Finals, yeah.
That's the only sweeps.
I think so.
Yeah. So no. it felt competitive for sure. Mm-hmm. There was good stories everywhere.
Any thoughts on the ratings here, TK?
You like to see the ratings going up when they're coming up for new TV rights deals. It definitely feels like some things are going to be changing. We might not be talking about ABC, ESPN, and TNT as the only places that have games. So, I don't know. It's good that the numbers are ticking up, especially when people were thinking they would be ticking down heading into this finals.
And our second tweet of the night, it is a photo. So for you podcast listeners, come check this out or search at Just S. Barahani. Okay, Darko might be my favorite Raptors coach already. Look at this tunnel photo shoot, and we are showing you a pic here of the Raptors' new coach, Darko, looking very magician-like. This is by way of Chris Young of the CP taking these pics. There were a couple of them, but this was my favorite, him touching the two walls in the tunnel, looking very sort of menacing in a way. Oh, that's a nice photo right there, though. Tass, you all in on these Darko picks that we had the press conference there yesterday? Look at that one.
Creating memes day one. The ratings up. Also, yeah, the social media impressions also up because of things like this happening in the NBA. He hasn't even coached a game.
That's a great photo. People were saying it compared to a photo of George Russell from the F1 world. He had a very similar photo. And Job from Arrested Development with the magician vibe. If you put like a dagger in his mouth, that would be very similar to that.
Yeah, I get a Sebastian Maniscalco vibes a little bit as well. Like he's getting ready to perform a stand-up comedy set. I would be a little nervous that he can't go flat hand palm to palm on these walls.
Doesn't have the wingspan.
He's got T-Rex arms, not Raptor arms. He's like gripping the walls. Tips only, baby.
Good stuff there. Fun tweets from that press conference. And he even dropped, Darko did a We the North in his first press conference outside. Did you see that, Tess? You don't see an outdoors press conference, especially at least from the Raptors. That may be the first time that I can recall. Nice weather up there in Toronto, I guess. And had everybody out there as he was introduced to the fan base. That's it for us here. Little beach step in. We'll be back later this week, probably with a drop podcast. So, again, get your questions in. We'll wait for the John Morant news. When do we find that out? I mean, it's Friday news dump from Adam Silver. It'll happen right after we do the drop podcast.
11:30 a.m. Eastern.
Nuggets parade tomorrow, though, so I'm sure we'll have some funny moments from that, some memeable moments from that. So, yeah, we'll be back later this week. Check out No Bunts, the baseball show with Tass and Joel. That's up on the Athletics Baseball Show feed. And, make sure you subscribe. And, guess we'll see you guys when we see you. We don't know if we're doing a show tomorrow. It's the weird way I'm coming at this.
Let's come back Friday.
Yeah, it's pretty quiet right now in the NBA
Pretty
world.
Quiet.
By Friday, we'll have a lot of NBA, at least rumors to talk about, for sure.
Maybe we'll just go on Twitch tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe you want me to buy this thing? I'll express ship it in, and we can play some... what would be an old game you'd most want to play right away?
My number one growing up was Mortal Kombat and
there you
that
go.
Series for sure.
All right.
Absolutely.
We'll fire up Mortal Kombat. What about you? Do you have a favorite?
So many. I could get back with the original Zelda. That's a good summertime play. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Twitch stream coming tomorrow. Till then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, Eldon Campbell Ring also loved playing video games.
Brace the day, people.